Welcome to Webcamps TV. This is your host, Corey Fowler, and joining him today is me, Josh Twist, to talk about API management.
So, Josh, I have to say, the first time I heard you speak, I was just completely mesmerized. And anything you say, you could tell me the sky was purple, anything, and I would absolutely believe it.
The accent's going to take all the credit for that, right? The accent takes the credit. Yeah, yes. I thought so. Yes. I thought that'd be the case. And to explain why I did the intro, I've upset Corey's flow by wanting to, I always stand in this side when I'm in the studio, and I couldn't change it. I think, Corey, you normally stand here.
I do.
So you forced me to do the welcome for today's show.
You're in the host position.
I got to introduce Webcamps TV, so that's pretty cool. Cool.
So, and you're also introducing something else to our audience today, which is API management, which is a brand new service to Azure. And because no one's really heard of it before, how about you give us a brief introduction as to what API management is?
So we launched API management at TechEd, so just about a month ago. And API management helps Microsoft's customers to publish APIs and put APIs in the hands of their partners or developers at large. To make it real, let's talk about a real scenario. Mm-hmm. And so what we're seeing today is that there's this bustle around a thing called the API economy. And that's people actually doing business through APIs. I compare it to, say, you know, Gap does its business through an e-commerce website and having a storefront. But there are lots of businesses today who their storefront is actually APIs. You know, just off the top of my head, people like Twilio and Stripe. APIs are how they do business. Yeah. And the minute you decide you want to do that, you want to enter that game, or you want to monetize through APIs, or there's even more stories we can tell in a moment, then you basically open yourself up for a ton of challenges. You are a developer, and you will know that developers are a finickety bunch at best, and they like quality documentation. You know, they want a great experience when they learn it. It's true, right? I mean, this echoes with me. And the minute you decide to enter this kind of API economy, this API game, you need to make sure you're providing great docs. Another thing, imagine if you were going to launch a marketing campaign. You know, you're going to use Azure websites, you're going to host a new marketing campaign to try and promote your latest product or whatever it is. Now, it would be unthinkable that you would do that today without having analytics plugged into your website, you know, without some kind of visibility as to what's happening, what does the traffic look like, where is traffic coming from, how is my website performing. It's the same for your API. You know, you need analytics to understand how your API program is performing. Are you achieving your goals? Is the performance adequate? Are you getting errors that you should be looking into? And so API management covers a vast set of these scenarios that really makes your API something you can put into the hands of your customers easily.
So what I'm hearing here is, if you're a website developer, those analytics are key, and we have App Insights for that.
Yep.
Like you can go, you can log into the brand new preview portal, get your App Insight token, place it on your website.
Right.
But that only works because that's JavaScript, so that's embedded in a page and all this. And we're speaking about APIs. So APIs, there is no page.
Right.
There's no JavaScript that's going to get run when you do stuff. So you literally have to put a layer in front of it.
Yep.
And that kind of acts as a metering gateway that has many functionalities, analytics being one of them.
Yep. Let's actually, this is a good point to sort of talk about the layout of things, I think, then and sort of confirm that. So when we think about API management, typically what you're doing is you're trying to get an API that already exists, so this thing here, this back end, into the hands of these guys. These are developers that want to use your API, and there's a bunch of reasons why you might do that. We should talk about some examples. And a key thing I want to point out, this API can be hosted on Azure, and we'd love you for it, but it doesn't have to be. As long as it speaks HTTP, it can be built on any stack, it can be PHP, MySQL, we don't mind, as long as we can talk to it via HTTP. And it can be hosted anywhere. It could be on premises, it could be even in a rival cloud. You know, obviously we prefer Azure, but we don't mandate it. There's no lock-in. Yeah. And then what we provide here is Windows Azure API Management that has three main components. We've got the publisher portal, we've got the proxy and the developer portal. So the publisher portal, let's imagine that you're going to launch your new business venture. I've got a great idea. What you're going to do is you're going to build a web API that adds numbers. And people are going to pay you to use this API so they can add numbers very accurately. And you want to sell that in the marketplace, right? You want to get out there and put this into developers' hands so they can use it. So you're the publisher now. Mm-hmm. And you will come, create an instance of Azure API Management. And we'll show you how you can do that in a minute. And you will use the publisher portal here to configure the proxy and the developer portal. So the developer portal is where these guys, your developers, your new fans and customers, come to find out how to use your API. So it's where they have a, you know, documentation, an interactive console, and hopefully we'll be able to show a little bit of that in a minute. And they're so successful now that they create these things, these apps or these services that are using your API. But the key piece here, where the magic really happens, is inside this proxy. Mm-hmm. So their apps talk to our proxy, which then talks to your backend API. And we can do all kinds of magic in here, including collecting analytics data, including doing transformation. So, you know, if your API talks XML and you'd rather it talk JSON, just a couple of clicks and we can do a conversion for you on the fly. Awesome. And I can show you that in a minute. We can do other things like add protection. Mm-hmm. So a story I'll tell actually is I used to work for a large business in the UK that sold flights, similar to an Expedia. So. Mm-hmm. And we decided, or rather our management decided one day, that we were going to do some co-opetition. We were going to work with one of our rivals, and they could resell our flights on their website. So this was 12 years ago or something. Yep. I was a dev at the time, working back, I think it was Visual Studio 2005, .NET 2. I was excited about generics. I remember this so clearly. maybe predated that a little bit. I think I was building an Asm.x web service. And so we were building this API that our partners could use to sell our flights. And that hooked into our core systems, you know, which hooked up into sort of international gateways that drive flight booking engines and so on. And shortly after we launched, it was successful. We had a great partnership where we made more money and they sold more flights and everybody's happy. But then one day, I think there was a bug in their code that triggered a nasty for loop. And this for loop just suddenly DOSed our system, hit our API really hard, brought down our core system and our website. Now, so I was dragged into the management office the following day, got slapped around a little bit, and had to go in and put in some protection. So I wish we'd had a product like this at the time, because that's one of the things this proxy can do, is actually apply rate limiting that protects your core systems. You know, you might have different prioritization amongst your partners. Mm-hmm. You may just want to protect your core systems, or you might want to make sure that, you know, Corey's bad for loop code doesn't degrade the experience for my other developers, you know, so I can limit you to something that seems like a sensible, not that you'd ever write bad code, Corey, I don't doubt
apparently
that.
You've seen my code lately.
Yeah,
my code's.
I wouldn't believe that would happen. And so the proxy can help provide that layer of protection that makes you feel secure in publishing an API.
Now, does this provide the ability to, say, do A/B testing or anything along those lines, or provide almost like a load balancing kind of scenario?
Yeah, so you can scale this out independently from your back end. There's a couple of other interesting features along those lines. One thing we can do is we can turn on caching for cacheable responses.
Oh, cool.
So that means, you know, if you have a cacheable response and you want to reduce the load on your back end, then our proxy can actually handle that traffic for you, and the response is much quicker because it's just coming out of our fast in-memory cache that runs on the proxy servers. Great. And in the future, we plan to make these geo-distributable, which would give you a CDN-like quality to that cache. You know, imagine I want to deploy a proxy in this region, that region. That's somewhat we hope to get to. It's on our roadmap.
Cool.
That we can do because we're Azure and we have data centers all over the world. So that's going to be pretty exciting. On A/B testing, we have plans to provide features that allow you to route dynamically to the back end based on policies here, which would be a great way to do A/B testing or partial migration for versioning, et cetera, et cetera.
Brilliant.
Cool.
Awesome. So I'm interested. How do we get going?
How do we get going? So we do a little demo. No surprise, you go to the good old Azure portal, and you'll see that API management is a tab here now in the portal, and we're currently in preview, the service.
So you're in preview, but does that mean you have to go in to the preview features sections to get it enabled on your account?
Or nope. Every Azure account has access to API management. There's no obstacles. There's nothing in your way. Just get in there, come in, and try it out, is what we'd say. And trying it out is pretty easy. Come down here, hit New, App Services, API Management, Create. We're going to ask you for a few details. You know, enter the name of your service. What tier do you want? What subscription are you going to use? And where do you want to put the proxy to begin with? Now, we're going to actually provision some real VMs for you here that's actually going to run this, some that will sort of process your analytics, some that's going to handle all that front-end traffic. And that typically takes about 8 minutes. So it can take a little while. So I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to switch to one that I created earlier. And here it is. It's called API Demo. Let me whiz through what's in the Azure portal very quickly. We have a dashboard, as you'd expect. With some, you know, some high-level information about some of the calls that have been going on. This is a pretty quiet instance because it's just me doing demos. Okay. We have a scale tab, which allows me to move from the developer tier, which is where I learn and try out the product and do my testing, etc., to standard, which is where you want to be if you're in production. And you can scale that up to multiple instances, and each standard instance includes 200 million API calls per month. And in the future, we may be adding even bigger tiers. So you can run a pretty large API program through this. If you need more than the four tiers that we provide here during preview, mm-hmm. you can just reach out to the team, and we can set that up for you as well if you need even more than that. For configuration, now, what I did was I created a tenant or an instance called API demo, which means I, by default, get apidemo.azure-api.net as my domain that's going to host my APIs. Mm-hmm. Now, you might not want to share that with the world. You know, you might want to have your own domain. And of course, we support that. So you can provide a custom domain both for your developer portal and for your API endpoint. And you can upload SSL certs, so everything's nice and secure.
I was just going to say, like, it's nice to see that you have SSL certs supported right out of the box. So I know that's a feature that everyone loves to ask about. As soon as we enable a new feature, hey, can I do an SSL over it?
Right.
To see that there.
So that's in the box out the gate, so we're pretty pleased with that. Now, you'll notice there aren't a lot of tabs here now. This is only really the heavy lifting for the service. So what we have is a publisher portal, which is where API publishers can go and actually manage the settings for their individual APIs. So let me switch out and show you that very quickly. So I'm going to go back to the dashboard, and we have this little manage button down here. Click that, and that's going to sign me in automatically, single sign me in to my publisher portal. Now, normally what I'd have here is, you know, a list of my APIs and the traffic, and at a glance view of what's going on in my system. Now, I don't have an API that's being managed here, so what we're going to do is take your genius idea of this addition API, right? And we're gonna manage it and sell it. So what you can see, I'm using Postman, which is this cool client for testing REST APIs. Everybody knows it just allows me to do posts and so on. And so here's your service that you built, the echoapi.cloudapp.net that does addition. So you can see it just takes two numbers, a 10 and a 12 up here. So just to prove this is real, Corey, give me two numbers you'd like to add. Let's keep it sensible. Don't test my code. 42, the meaning of life, the universe, and everything, yes. And
12.
And 12, okay. A lot of thought went into that. This is very meaningful. I sense that there's meaning in these numbers. So I'm going to hit post. Now, this is not going through API management at the moment. This is going directly to that API. And down here, we can see at the bottom, if I zoom in using the magnifier and get that guy out of the way, you can see we got a result of 54, which I think is right.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I'm terrible at mental arithmetic. Now, this is not a managed API. This is just an API hosted on cloud services. Notice how it's returning some XML. Mm-hmm. And what I want to do is manage this API now real quick. So I'm going to run in, I'm going to copy this, and we're going to add this API to my API management instance. So I'm going to give it a name. I think we should give it something a bit funky, like the Calculator Matron.
I like that.
Okay, that sounds like the kind of service I'd pay money for. I specify what the backend URL is. So that's saying, where is the backend, right? And then I need a little suffix on here that gets added to my domain. I'm just going to call that calc. I hit save, and in a few seconds, I should have an API appear here, and I can add some settings for it.
Brilliant.
Now, I'm going to do a little bit of typing. It's a little bit dull. But we're going to give a description to this API, and I'll show you why in a minute. So this is an awesome API that can add things. OK. I'm going to go and hit save. Notice that we have some security options here, like connecting to the back end via basic creds. Hit save. And I've entered some metadata now. We're going to use that in a little minute, so I wanted to put that in. Now we need to go and add an operation. So an operation is kind of an invocable resource, if you will, in my REST API. So this is going to be a post. And I paste in the URL here. So that's the URL of the service on the back end. But maybe I don't like it. Maybe I'd like to project something a bit more modern, a bit more REST looking. Yep. Maybe the REST police will arrest me for this horror I am about to commit. But you could do something like this. Right? Just use parameters to rewrite the URL using our service. So you can project a different, perhaps more friendly or easier to use API front end, if you will. Right? So I'm going to give it a name. Let's call it the number adder. And a quick description, adds numbers, etc. Okay, so pretty much done. I can turn on caching. I mentioned that before. Sure. Click of a button. An addition operation is very cacheable. 4 + 4 always equals 8. So we can just turn that on. That's great. I can document my parameters. Notice how it's automatically sensed that there's an A and a B parameter. So I can say this is the first number, And oop, click away. Choose what data type I am. Mm-hmm. This is the sorry to do this, but it will come to it will be worth it.
Oh no!
The second number to do all this typing.
I'm just trying to remember like what the actual mathematical terms were in.
I don't know what they are in addition.
There's some sort of operands, but I'm not sure if that's.
I need to learn that because I do this demo quite a bit. I could look really smart. Okay, so I'm going to enter some suggested values or some possible values. And the reason I'm entering this metadata is it's going to be what drives the documentation experience. Mm. So the more I put in here, the better experience my developers are going to have.
Yeah, right? As you mentioned, there's the developer portal that was one of the entry points for people like the people that are watching the show right
now. Absolutely.
On how they're actually going to go and use your APIs.
Yep.
Excellent.
So when they become customers of the Calculator Matron and pay you $1,000 a month for your number edition service, we'll be raking it in. We'll put the address down here. Yeah, so the body, it's saying, how would I document the request body? So I'm going to say there is none, so we don't need a body for this particular post. Okay. And then I can document responses. So, you know, as a good developer, I should explain what happens in the event of a 401. What does the actual response body look like so that the developer can handle it? So I could document that. I'm going to save time. I'm just going to do what the 200 OK response looks like. Okay. And of course, we're all down with content negotiation, so you can provide different representations in here. I'm going to do text XML. Mm-hmm. We could do application JSON too. And so I just provide a little example down here. Now I've got good news for you. I'm doing a lot of typing here, right?
Yep.
You don't have to type all this stuff in. You can import.
You have some invalid XML there.
Oh, do I? Yep. Oh, well done. And the service would actually stop me from saving that. So thanks for the catch.
No, I just broke part of your demo.
No, you didn't. You saved. Oh, what have I done wrong here?
Add AB already exists.
Oh, wow. I'm just going to call it adder for now. Hit save.
There we go.
Okay. So, I think I'd saved it twice, actually. I accidentally saved my operation twice there. So let me jump into that. Let me delete one of these so I don't get confused. And so we're left with the adder one. That will do fine. Okay. So I've got my response in here. And we're all pretty much ready to go now. I have an API that's ready to be consumed by my developers. But one thing, I need to make it part of a product, because products are how people subscribe to your APIs. So products are just kind of grouping constructs in API management. And what's nice about products is they can actually be assigned to groups of developers. So you can put your developers into little groups. Mm-hmm. And then as you can see, I can say that a product is available to all developers, to guests. I can create a group ad hoc. I could create a best friends group or a premium customer group, however you want to structure it. And I can put APIs into a product. So I'm going to add our API that we just created to this product.
So a way to look at this would be potentially two different ways. One, it could actually be products that you're promoting. The other could be an actual set of ACLs that you're
basically
providing.
Yeah, yeah, you can ACL access to your APIs using this system. Exactly right. Exactly right. So I've added it to this test product here. You can see we're already published, so that means that my API is now actually live and ready to be consumed by developers that come and sign up. So it's time to go and take a look at that developer portal. So there's a little link up here in the top right corner. I can click that, and that's going to take me into our developer portal experience. Cool. And this is all completely customizable. Now, I've been single signed in as the administrator because you can see some documentation there for our awesome API appearing already. I've already been signed in as the administrator because I came from the management portal.
Yep.
But if I was a developer that was fresh to this, I could click the sign up button and I can just create an account now. So someone external could come and sign up to this API, create an account, start using the APIs. They can sign in with Facebook, Twitter, Google, Microsoft account, of course, or they can create a specific account just for this service right here.
Yep.
Now, as the administrator, I've already got access, so I don't need to do that. But notice if I click on APIs, I'll now get a list of all of the APIs in my service. And we can see here our number adder. And here's the documentation for the Calculator Matron API. We can see what the URL looks like. We can see where the parameters would go. I can see the descriptions. All that metadata I was entering is dynamically generating this documentation.
Yeah.
And what's even more cool is we can take that metadata and generate code samples. So if you want to know how to call this, if you don't know how to call this from a Ruby backend, there's your code. Just click the Ruby button and you can copy that over to your application.
That's impressive.
Cool. I'm glad you like it. But that's not the best thing about this. The best thing about this is the interactive console. So there's a notion in the API community of the time to first successful call. Yep. So this is the idea that you want to reduce the time it takes from a developer deciding to try your service to having a successful transaction. Mm-hmm. You know that feeling where you're struggling. You just want to know how the thing works, interact with it. So we have a console that will accelerate your developers in doing this. So here is the console. And it generates, based on your parameters, a little form. So we can add two numbers now and just see how awesome this service is. Give me another number, Corey.
Five,
nice. I choose a key, and this key identifies me as a developer to the system. And I hit post, and I am calling the service now in real time. You can see the response, we can see the latency, we can see all of the headers that were returned, and the actual, just down here, that XML response with a value of 8, which I think is correct.
Yes.
So now it's a managed API, now people can use it. Now, I want to show you two more cool things. Policies, this is my favorite part of the system. So policies are what allow you to change the behavior of your API. So I go to the policies tab down here. And I can set a policy at any scope, you know, the product, the API, or the operation specifically. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to choose this number adder operation that we have. And I'm going to choose configure policy. And notice that there's already some policies configured in here. So that's the caching. I achieve that just by checking that little box. I've got my URL rewriting all wired in. So we just provide an easy way of doing that. But we can do way more than what we provide those little checkboxes for. So we have this big list of statements here that include things like adding cores to an existing service, JSONP support for legacy browsers, find and replace in strings, masking URLs for hypermedia enabled APIs, restricting caller IPs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Thanks.
Now, one thing I want to show you is how we can convert with just a drop of a piece of XML configuration here from XML to JSON. So I'm going to change these settings and just make it always use this rule. Probably not something you would do in a real service, but fine for our little demo now.
You have an extra character after always.
Oh, well spotted. This guy's an awesome code reviewer. So I am ready now to save this. Okay, and then if just a few seconds, I'll be pushed out to our API proxy. And if I go back here and hit post, we should see that the response is now a JSON response. And all done just by applying that policy. So one more policy for you very quickly. And that is rate limiting. So rate limiting is cool because it's how I can provide, one way I can provide some security of my API. So we're going to apply that at the test product level. Mm-hmm. And what I'm going to do, I had this here already, but I'm going to clear it so I can show you how we can add it, is I'm going to apply a rate limit policy for this. So I go to limit call rate. It drops in a bunch of XML for me. I remove the bits I don't need. I want this to work for all APIs in this product. And I simply say how many calls each developer gets within a number of seconds. So I'm going to go with 2 in a 60-second period. And I hit save. Mm-hmm. Again, pushing out to the proxies. And then I go back to my console, hit post once, I should get a 200.
Yep.
Hit post again, I should get another 200. Oh, actually, no, in the last 60 seconds, I already had that policy there. So you can see I've now got too many requests. So I've exceeded my rate limit. And if I look at this response here, we'll see it actually gives me even more information. It says try again in 6 seconds. So I'd come back and done it again, actually, and the rate limit was still in effect, which is why I only did it once before I got rate limited.
Yep.
But pretty cool, pretty easy to add that stuff.
Well, it's nice to be able to add something like that, because if you are running on a single backend, you know, mm-hmm. have any kind of scale there, a rate throttle would be the first way to actually go and protect your service from some sort of denial of service or whatever.
Right.
And it's nice that it's just a single click.
Yep, very, very easy. Very easy. One thing I'm aware of, actually, is though you saw me entering quite a lot of data, one thing I want to highlight, especially for the webcams crowd, is that one of our community members, a guy called Stuart Leakes, actually produced a really nice sample the other day that shows how you can add a tiny piece of code to your web API, your ASP.NET web API, that makes it very easy to extract WADL. So WADL is a format that defines REST APIs. You can also do this with NuGet packages to extract Swagger, which is another format that we support exporting. So let me just show you this, actually. I just pushed up an example service that Stuart kindly created for us on Azure websites. So I've got this thing here, leaksapi.azurewebsites.net. Let's let this start up. So this is the API. You know, it has the usual API help page. But let's imagine that we decide we want to monetize this, or for whatever reason we decide we need a managed API program. Then what we can do here is go to his Waddle page. So we just go to help/Waddle here. And it's going to generate a Waddle document for me. And let me make sure I actually click that. Yeah. So let's let that load, and I'll be able to see the URL. And there's the Waddle file. So this is all based and generated based on the sort of .NET metadata that's available inside that web API. So it's generated based off the code. You know, we've not had to author and structure all this whole file. So I could actually import this directly into my API management service now. So going from web API to managed API can be really easy. Let's go and add another API very quickly. I'm going to say from URL, I'm going to choose a Waddle format. I'm going to paste this in. Hit save and specify suffix. What have I done? Oh, yeah, I need to put down here. So let's say, let's call this leaks API in honor of Stuart, who provided this little sample for us.
Cool. So this means, like, if you start up, you create a file new web API,
yep.
Use the help page, you can actually use this plugin to go pull all the information from the help page.
Got it.
And directly imported into your API management.
Bingo. And so if we go and look in these operations now, you'll see that we have this huge list of available operations in the service. And if I just go into one of these, we'll be able to see that it's pre-populated with a bunch of metadata. I've got different response examples in here. Yeah. So it's really nice, actually. It's a really great way of getting your web API, pushing it into API management with kind of a minimum of friction. You just go in and tidy up anything that you know you want to make look look prettier.
So for all you out there that I know you've been watching the show for ages now, and you should have already watched the show, we actually had a previous show on the web API help page. And it goes into detail around all the attributes and stuff that you can use to actually go and add descriptions, change some of the documentation that gets outputted.
Yep.
So if you're looking at using this particular feature, maybe it's a good time to go back, review that show, figure out how to get the most out of the documentation that you're going to be exporting from your web API.
Yep. Cool. That sounds awesome. So I think that's a really nice way of doing it if you're working ASP.NET. And I think a lot of other solutions have ways of exporting either Waddle or Swagger. So I know there's a NuGet package for .NET. I think it's called Swashbuckle that allows me to do something similar to what Stuart did with Waddle and export Swagger files. There's one other thing I want to show you, actually. So very quickly, so the developer portal, you've seen, it looks okay, right? The one you get kind of out the box, it looks okay, but normally you want to make it look a lot like your corporate brand. You know, you want to make it look just like your business.
I like where you're going with this.
Let me show you how easy it is to do that. So this is basically a CMS. So you can just edit any of this content. You can change it however you like, change the text, just go in there, add pages, whatever you need. But you can also easily change the appearance. So if I go down here and click on appearance, I can click resume customization. I'd already been doing some customization before. And we get this special view now for the administrator that shows me how my my portal is going to look. These are all the different controls you might have, right? Now, I can go and explore that and look at different pages and see how they look with the new theme. And I can style it right here. So I'm going to pick an element to customize. Let's go for this bar here. And then let's find a nice, is there a background color for this guy? Actually, let me pick a different element that I know how to style. So select an element to customize. Let's go with this guy up here that's blue at the moment. And I think we should have a really nice orange color. Hit preview changes, and in just a second, that will update. Now, only for me, only for the administrator.
Okay.
Not everybody can see that. If I wanted to make it public, I would hit publish down here, and that would push out the changes to the real developer portal.
That's brilliant.
So let me show you just how easy it is to actually do some really cool stuff with that. Actually, I'm going to show you a couple of customers that are live on our service right now. So this is Wellmark, which was a launch customer. You can see how they've managed to style the portal so it looks just like the corporate identity. These guys are a good story, so they're using API management, not to directly monetize it, but Wellmark are a mutual insurance in the US. You know, they serve, like, I think, 2 million members, part of a network serving 100 million people over here in the US. Mm-hmm. And their goal is to make it easy for their corporate customers to integrate Wellmark's data and services into the HR portals. You know, as a Microsoft employee, when you go to our HR portal, you want to be able to see what our mutual insurance is, what's available, what the providers are. These guys have gone with API management so that anybody that wants to integrate can do so very, very easily by just using the documentation experience here. And And that's better in general for Wellmark's customers, so it's a good idea. So that's one example.
Very cool.
We have Blue Garden, which is another nicely styled template that's loading up here. And again, that's all running, the whole thing's running on Azure API Management. We have another customer at api.ai, so these guys are running at a private domain, you know, mm-hmm. so they've got their own domain here. And this is a speech API. So these guys, again, are running on Azure API Management. And here it comes. And it's been beautifully styled. So again, just using the standard styling tools, et cetera, but looks very different. You would never know that these were all running on the same backend. So it's very themable, very customizable.
Brilliant. And the default theme looks very similar to Bootstrap. Are you leveraging Bootstrap?
Of course, leveraging. But Bootstrap is the internet these days, isn't it?
Yes. And
you'd have noticed that when I was doing that customization, if we pop back to it, actually.
Well, that was the thing, is this actually looked like the Bootstrap documentation pages.
Yeah. So, you know, we embrace open source, so we're really into open source and leveraging the great work of others. And you may have noticed that when I was styling elements here, so let me click on this one. What you're looking at here is actually less variables. Mm-hmm. So these are actually the less variables that are going to go on to generate the style sheet that's being applied over.
So you're actually calling an API.
Of course.
From within API Management.
Yeah, it's kind of like fractal, right? You know, like recursive. See recursive, yeah.
That's really cool. And the other thing is, like, and we just kind of gloss over it as if it's nothing really cool, but you're actually selecting elements directly from the page, which is something that's really neat as well. And most people will be used to that from their developer tools,
right?
But it's a nice experience to be able to add that to the website itself, to be able to quickly go and pick these things there.
Agreed. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Cool.
So is there anything that I could do as a web developer when I'm building out my web API to keep in mind if I am going to be leveraging the API Management Service?
No, I don't think there's a lot to think about there. I mean, obviously, if you follow best practice and create an API that you believe is easy for people to use, you're probably looking at building HTTP APIs these days, mm-hmm. modern APIs. Then you should be good. You know, we deliberately make it so everything just flies through our proxy pretty much transparently. Like user authentication goes through there. You don't have to worry about that. So there's not a lot that you can do to go wrong in terms of building a web API.
So and then in terms of version management, that all goes through the proxy as well. So it's not even something that you would really necessarily need to keep in mind when you're building out your API.
Right.
And a great reason as to why it would be good to take an existing API, put this in front of it, so when you are going and migrating to a new version of your API, you have a really easy way to go and expose that new version.
Of course, yeah. That makes sense. And as you can see, actually, up on the screen now, we've got some analytics showing for our API. And if I drill in, I can get even more details on that. Gives us an at-a-glance view of all of the, let me actually click the button so it loads, of all of the usage that's happening on the system. We can see the bandwidth, we can see the number of calls, any errors, which is good. I'm not having any errors in my API. My adder tends to work, or your adder. We can see who the top developers are. We can sort by blocked calls, which is rate limiting, right? Mm-hmm. Failed calls, others, total bandwidth that was consumed. We can drill in for detailed usage, and what I like about this view is that we actually get geographical data as well. So, surprise, surprise, you can see all the traffic's coming from the good old US of A. And if I click on that, you'll see that the traffic's coming from the good old state of Washington, where we are right now. So this is only in my demo API, no one else. It's just me doing demos, so that's why. But you get this great sort of geographical view. We can also give you some info on the health of your APIs. You know, what kind of errors are you seeing? How many blocked calls are you seeing as we trend over time? What is your cache hits and misses? And this bit I like as well, response times, and response times geographically. So you can see what is the typical measured response here. So let me highlight that little section here. So a min of 67 milliseconds, a max of 203 milliseconds, and an average of 156 milliseconds. That's for the whole round trip, so including the proxy, going out, back, everything. And then we can see your service response time underneath. As you'll see, if I can actually hit that, that's 142 milliseconds. So in this case, we're only adding, I think, around 14 milliseconds in the proxy. So the proxy is extremely lean, extremely fast. And isn't going to add a lot of overhead to your existing APIs. Minuscule.
Brilliant.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and giving our viewers here great overview of the API management service.
Thanks for having me.
Where's a place where they could get more details as to?
Yeah, so the best place to go is the good old Azure website. So you can go to features, and we're under web and mobile at the moment, under API management. Or you can go to azure.microsoft.com/APIM for API management.
All right.
So that's where you can go and find out everything you need to know about API management, watch some videos, go and check out the documentation.
Brilliant. And as always, we'll have all the links that we mentioned in the show just below the video player here. Do you have anything else that you want to cover in?
No, I just want to say thanks.
Excellent.
Go and try it out. Go and create a service and give us your feedback.
Feedback's important.
Yep.
And we'll have a user group for that as well?
We have a user voice. So you go to feedback.azure.com. You'll see that we have API management in there. We'd love to get some interaction from you. And feel free to reach out to the team. We have a Twitter handle, Azure API MGMT. So we'll put that in the links below as well. Yep. Josh Twist on Twitter as well. So, you know, hit me directly. We'd love to hear from you.
Great. Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining me. And thanks to all you out there for joining us here. And we'll see you next time on WebCams TV.